Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Today we're going to be visiting with Paul Fain. Good morning to you, Paul.
Well, good morning, LaVon.
Well, Paul, the first thing we need to do is talk about your family, and people are going to then start connecting with you and your family. So let's talk a little about your parents and your brothers.
Well, my parents are Merle and Isabel Fay, who currently reside in Lenox, but we grew up outside of Wyota on a farm, and myself and four brothers. And some of the people would remember Jim, Tim, Max, Paul, and Mick. And we raised horses pretty much on a farm. And
when you say you raised horses, you were in a lot of parades. I mean, you didn't just raise them there. You had a good time with them.
Oh, yeah. From the time it started warming up in the spring to until it was too cold to ride in the fall, every Sunday was a horse show or a trail ride or a rodeo or something. And that was just our way of life back then. I don't think any of us owned a bicycle until we were grown.
Well, talk a little bit about rodeoing. I forgot about those junior rodeos. They were going on around the area.
Oh, yeah. Most of us started, I think I started when I was 8 years old in the Little Britches rodeos. And the state finals was held at Messina for years and years. And I understand now that the arena and everything's gone and things have changed a lot, but we all pretty much went through from the time we were kids, and I had an old brother, Tim, that ended up in the professional rodeo circuit up and down the West Coast and clear down to Texas. I quit when I was in my 20s when I had one daughter and another one coming, and I thought, it's time I gave this up.
So what did you do? Did you bull ride? What the kinds of things did you participate in?
Well, we pretty much all rode the bulls, and I liked riding bareback horses and steer wrestling. And every once in a while, we didn't have the fancy trained horses. It was just what we used every day, so we didn't get involved in the roping much. But you could pretty well go from rodeo to rodeo and either ride bareback horses or bulls and have fun.
And you didn't wear any helmets, did you?
No, that was before helmets and pads and flak jackets. And I don't think any of us, I got a broken nose one time. I think that's the most serious injury we had in all the time we were doing it. Yeah. I don't know how they get by these days.
Yeah, I don't either. That's interesting. And all those boys and all those years and all the things you did that you, in the rodeo, you didn't have anything worse than that. Now, I just visited with your wife, Betty, and we were talking about a horse named Ted. Do you remember Ted?
Oh, yes. That was Dad's favorite. He was a black and white colored. He was called a Morocco stallion. And Dad had the parade outfit with all the silver accoutrements. And Ted knew when he was on stage, he would throw those front knees up and really prance. And Dad won several trophies with him in parades and things. Take the horse back home, and when we were like 2 and 3 years old, we could ride him around the yard. And he was just he knew when he was on, and he knew when he was off.
That always fascinates me. He was a real show horse. And you know, you see that happen in other animals, too. But it always fascinates me that animals can sense that and really perform.
Yeah. We had a lot of them. By today's standards, they weren't fancy horses. But and sometimes I think some of the people that bought trained horses back then would get frustrated because we would come around with the horses that we just rode every day, and we could still go in the barrel racing and pole bending and different races, and we could win. And then take that same horse back home and ride it and herd cattle or sort calves, anything we needed to do with them.
That's great. Now, just in case in the background somebody hears something going on, we should tell people what we're doing. This is on Sunday when we're visiting. Tell people a little bit about what's going on here in Grant.
Well, we spent a few days the last couple of weeks throwing up a little outdoor stage here in the city park at Grant. And here for the Labor Day weekend, we're just having our own little music festival. We've invited some friends and different groups to come in and play. They're trying to raise money to restore an old building, I think a Masonic Lodge uptown. And we're just having a good time. Different ones are taking turns. Pretty soon they're going to have an open jam. Just anybody that wants to can get up and sing or play or whatever.
And I have listeners who were listening earlier, they heard me visit with Jim Wymore, who was one of the people who kind of, I think, put the groups together and got the music lined up. But lots of people had a lot to do with this. They have some food they're selling. And if you haven't been to the park in Grant, I'd say, hey, when you want a little picnic area, this is a really beautiful spot.
It is. It's really neat. The river's right there. You could. It's an actual stone's throw away, and it's neat. The water's running down there. It's surrounded by trees, so it'll block. If you have a windy day, it should block that. They got a swing set for the little kids and tetherball, some shelters here, benches, and it's just a neat little park.
Yep. Sometimes we forget we have these little treasures hidden away in these teeny little towns. Well, because we're at this music festival, and this is the first one, they're hoping to carry this on, we want to go back and talk about Paul's musical career, because it really, off and on, you've done a great deal of this music. What do you play? What instruments have you played?
Well, predominantly I play bass, electric and acoustic, and the upright bass or string bass. I play a little bit of guitar, chord on it, but that's about the limit of my talents, I guess. But it's a funny thing. I went to school in the 60s when the Beatles and all that rock and roll music really took hold. And it was funny, as we were going from junior high to high school in the spring one year, we were getting ready to get out, the four of us talked, wouldn't it be fun to have a band? And one of them volunteered, well, I'd play drums, and another volunteered, well, my mom plays country music and she's got a guitar I could play lead, and another one to play rhythm. And these were all my friends. I thought, well, okay, I'll be the bass player. And because I thought, well, four strings, it's not as hard. And this was just kid talk. We get home, and back then it was different too, because when we went out of school for the summer, country kids, I don't think I went to town more than once or twice. I didn't see the guys until we started up school in the fall. Went back that fall, and Richard had a set of drums his mom had bought through the drugstore. And Tom's mother had him an amp and a guitar. And Mervyn's folks, he'd got a guitar. So here I was. I didn't have anything. I didn't know they'd done anything. One of them said, now this is really funny. He said, one of them said, hey, Terry Clausen's got a bass guitar he wants $25 for. Well, let's go look at it. And I went and looked. It only had three strings. One was broken and gone. And I had been teaching myself over the last year off of records how to play some bass on a regular acoustic guitar. I took two strings off of it, so it only had four. And so I knew just a very little bit about it. And I played that bass with those three strings for the better part of a year until I could afford the $5 for the fourth string. But we went ahead and put a band together and played all through high school with it.
You want to mention the last names? You mentioned first names because, again, people will probably remember those names.
Well, yeah. Rich Hargens was the drummer from Anita, went to school there, and Tom Cameron was the lead guitar player. Mervyn Templeman was in Anita then. I think he lives around Atlantic, and then I lived outside of Wyota, but like I say, it was different. The only time we could get together, because not everybody drove, and we were too young to have licenses, if I'd sneak away on a Sunday afternoon, Tom's dad, Wayne Cameron, had a body shop in Anita. And we would go there on Sunday afternoons and practice. And that's how we got our start.
Now we know that background. What was the name of your band?
Actually, because we were going to graduate in 1969, we were the 69ers.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how well that would translate today.
Yeah, I don't know either. So what about some of the other bands? I mean, because you have kept on this through your life. You've kept on playing in various bands and still do fairly often.
Yeah, I was the original or the first bass player in the original Blue Tones band back when Mel Bryles and Rick Pearl and Dwayne Frog Rathman and I started the original Blue Tones. And we played together about 6 years, but that was the time I was in my 20s and had gotten married and started having kids and was living in Missouri, and it was starting to get kind of a hardship, you know, the length driving back and forth. And I thought maybe it's time to go a different direction. But we had a good time and had a good following. Did a lot of music. And then over the years, I've just switched back and forth. I spent, I think, 13, close to 14 years in Reading at the Midwest Country Music Theater. It was an Opry show and played predominantly country music. And we were in the house band, and we would back up singers and other players and entertainers, and had a real good time. And then it's been back and forth between. Currently, I'm in a band. The name of the band is the Rhythm Kings, and we play mostly rock and roll from the 60s and 70s and 80s. But then we also play some country. We play several of the Pony Express dances that are put on to raise money for Camp Sunnyside.
We're visiting with Paul Fay and hearing about his musical career. And the one thing that fascinates me is that you guys all sort of work together and you kind of back up each other. And that's what it's all about, I think, with music. We want to thank you very much, Paul Fay, for visiting with us. And just remember, music is great for the soul.